gentlemen, podcasting since 2005, you're listening to Gamertag Radio with your hosts, podcaster Hall of Famer Danny Pena, the always opinionated Paris Lilly, and from outside of the norm, Peter Toledo. This is Gamertag Radio.
All right, welcome to Gamertag Radio, episode 1225. This is your host, Danny Pena, and joining me for this episode, the one and only Paris Lilly. Paris, how you doing, man?
Good, man. Good morning.
Good morning. How's everything with you, man? I know you had a trip to San Francisco. You haven't been there in a long time because, you know, I think the last time I was there was, I moved back in 2020 when I came over here to LA, and I went briefly, just chill there for a couple of days. But I'm talking about like an actual event, a gaming event. It's probably like the Division, the New York expansion.
It was because again, I was up there for Mario plus Rabbids Sparks of Hope, which we'll talk about in just a second. But some of the same people, PR people from Ubisoft, were at this event as well, and we were laughing about that. That like literally the last time I saw them in person was January of 2019 at the Warlords of New York event for the Division 2. That's how long it's been. It's crazy. Wow. Yeah.
And that was before everything just changed.
Yeah. Like, and that was my first in-person like gaming event, you know, since that event, January of 2019, where, you know, I had to sit down, do an interview, got hands on, because everything's been remote since then. So it was good. Yeah. It was good to see people in person, hang out up there, like Snowbike Mike, you know, my co-host over at XCast, he was there as well. So we got to hang out during the day, went to dinner, got, you know, all that stuff, man. It was just good. It's good stuff.
Good. Very, really cool. First of all, Paris, I want to say thanks to you, P, for recording when I was out doing my thing for the book, and great episode last week. It was really,
really
good.
Hey, freestyle.
Yeah, because that one was you, but there was another one with Pete and you. So I can't remember. It's been chaotic for the past couple of weeks. But also, thanks to everybody that been buying the book and posting the reviews. It means a lot to me. A lot of great feedback. You know, if you haven't seen the videos yet, this video is already online. You could Telemundo, shout out to them. They interviewed me. You could go check it out to the official Telemundo website, or NBC or Peacock. You probably could watch it there. It's in Spanish, by the way. And actually, a couple of days ago, I just did one with NBC. That one, it's more for like the local South Florida area. They're going to air that very soon. I just don't know the date. And I have more coming up in the future. So if you haven't purchased the book, go right now to Amazon and purchase a book. It's called Danny Loves Video Games. It's there. And thanks to everyone for all the support. But we have a lot of things to talk about. But first, head over to GamertagRadio.com. Post a comment and feedback. Listen to our past episodes. We have a lot of content there. You can find us on any podcast app. All you have to do is search for Gamer Tag Radio. We're there. Make sure to follow us and subscribe. Now, if you would like to be part of our fan mail discussion, because I love getting questions from the listeners all around the world, this only take a minute of your time. This is how you could contact us.
Send us your feedback or questions. Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@gamertagradio.com. Or leave a message on speakpipe.com/gamertagradio.
All right, Paris, so let's talk about this Mario Rabbids game. And I know you have an interview for this episode. Was there a major difference between the first game, which we love the first one, and this one when you got to check it out at the event?
Yeah, there's two major things that change in this one and the first game, Mario plus Rabbids. What was it? Kingdom Battle was the first game. But this one is Mario plus Rabbids Sparks of Hope, which is a sequel to this. And the two big changes are the grid system's gone. There's a little more freedom to your movement. It's more of a kind of a wide open, lack of a better term, think like a big circle range that you can move around in. And then you, you know, instead of the grid look. So plus you can kind of scout ahead to kind of see your movements that you want to be able to do with the enemies as well. And then the biggest change are the sparks themselves. So the sparks are like these new characters that they're introducing. And you'll go on basically on missions to basically acquire these sparks. And each sparks has like their own different ability. Like you'll have one that applies like burn damage, one, you know, splash damage, things like that. So when you get into these battles with your Mario characters or the rabbit characters, you'll apply the different sparks to them as you head into each battle. So it gets very strategic when you do that. So the preview event I was at, we got hands on for about 3 hours. First hour or so, it was the intro to the game, right? We did the, you know, tutorial stuff and all that. But then the second half of it was they advanced us further into the game where it was way more advanced and you had the different three characters. And I got to say, and you'll hear this in the interview with the creative director, the game will get tough. Once you get later into the game, you really have to think and strategize about how you want to use each character's different abilities and then how you want to pair them with one of the sparks. And then you strategically need to place them on the map and take out the enemies and all that. And again, with the sparks will add to your offense and your defensive capabilities as well. So I love it. I love the first game. I think people are absolutely going to love the Sparks of Hope as well. And When Keeley gets up on stage, I'm not saying game of the year, but I am going to say it definitely should be in some discussion. It is going to absolutely be one of the better games of 2022, in my personal opinion. And that's just from 3 hours of hands on.
Yeah. So the story where this takes place, like, is it right away after the first one? Is it a couple months or years later?
Well,
like,
I'm not specific on the actual time, but still same in the Mario universe, is after the events of the first game. And but again, it's the introduction of the sparks that kicks this off, and then you go off, you know, on a new adventure. And it's not open world, but there's definitely more exploration and discoverability as you're going through the different levels as well. So it's pretty cool. It's fun. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah, I remember us playing the first game for the first time. We got to check it out. I know we were at E3 and they announced the game and everything, right? But when we got to play it, I remember going to the Ubisoft event. Nobody was really playing it. It was just there.
Yeah.
And I'm like, this is weird. So then we got to play it and I'm like, yo, this game has so much potential. And this is way back before the first one even came out. So when this, and then I had a strange feeling, and I know there's been rumors now for a while that Ubisoft was working on this one, because the first one was a huge success after this was released, you know, for the Switch, exactly. So did it felt different with this one when you got to see it? Like, okay, this is going to be better than the first one, or what?
Once you get into the later levels, this is when you really start to realize it, because again, the early stuff is very similar, other than the lack of the grid system, but the early tutorial stuff is very similar to the first game. It just kind of feels like, all right, I'm getting back in the groove of something that's familiar to me from, and it was, you'll hear it in an interview, but I couldn't believe it was 2017. The first game came out. Like, that's, I was like, wild. Wait, like, whoa, time is flying. But, yeah. But once you get into the later stuff, you definitely see, like, when you get, the couple boss battles I did, tough. Trust me when I tell you. So, it is a natural extension from the first game. It makes a lot of sense. Fans of the first game will absolutely love this one. And I think this actually will be a good jumping off point for people that did not play the first game. I think it eases you into understanding the world and their motivations, and again, the power sets and, you know, the skill trees as you're leveling up your characters and the weapon, like, all that stuff makes sense. It's good. Like, I said this on Kind of Funny, but I almost in a weird way wish this wasn't on the Switch. I wish it was available on more platforms, because I think it does limit somewhat the exposure of this game to people that don't have a Switch, obviously. Like, I'd be perfectly honest with you. I rarely play on my Switch anymore. I do. Now, this will get me to go play on my Switch because I want to play this, but yeah, it's good, dude. It's really good. And I think, you know, when it comes out on October 20th, I really hope people run out and go pick this up, because this partnership with Ubisoft and Nintendo has been a good one. And this is definitely not the end of it. You can absolutely tell they're going to continue doing this moving forward.
Yeah, man, I have to say this, bro. Like, playing the first game, there's a boss in there in the first game that sings. It's like very musical, mm-hmm. a musical battle. Honestly, in my opinion, is one of the best boss battles of any Mario game. Yeah. It was just the experience was so iconic, so dope. And I remember playing that boss for the first time at an event right before the game came out. And this was like maybe like a hands-on review event or something like that in New York City. And my mind was blown. I hope there's something like that similar or even better for the second game. Because, bro, man, that first battle in the first game was so iconic. It was so, so good. So I hope we get to see something like that, man. Really, really cool. I can't wait. Can't wait. That's in a couple of weeks, man. It's coming out. So
yep, October 20th.
Yeah. So tell us a little bit about this interview. Cause we're gonna play now.
I do not want to butcher his name because yeah. he has an Italian name. But I got to speak, and he'll say it in the interview. You hear it. But spoke with the creative director. He's creative director from the first game. You met him. I met him previously. Yeah. You know. He said, "Tell you hello." But I sit down with him for a few minutes, talk about Sparks of Hope, some of the changes from the first game going into this one. And, you know, we talk about difficulty levels, talk about the partnership with Ubisoft and Nintendo. It's a fun conversation. And like I said, my first one in person since 2019. So it was good. So definitely check this out and we'll be back.
All right. We're going to play here on the podcast and we'll be right back after this.
You're listening to Gamertag Radio.
So, hey everyone, this is Paris. I am here at the Mario plus Rabbids Sparks of Hope preview event, and I got someone very special here to talk about the game. So, can you introduce yourself?
Hello, everyone, guys. I'm Davide Soliani, and I'm the creative director of Mario plus Rabbids Sparks of Hope.
So thank you for taking a few minutes to talk to me. So actually, right as we're recording this, I was just joking. This is the first in-person interview I've done since we've had all the craziness with the pandemic. So thank you for taking a few minutes to talk to me about this game. Now, we were trying to figure out the years because I'm so bad on time, but the first game was in 2017. When it came out.
It was in 2017. And by the way, it's a pleasure for me being here as well, because it's been like 4 years that yeah. I'm not doing an interview in yeah. person, so it's it's a nice comeback.
Yeah, definitely nice. But yeah, it's just crazy that time has gone by so quickly here, because I remember the first game and I absolutely adored it. I loved it. I remember coming into the concept of it and I think, okay, it's cool, you got the rabbits, you got the Mario characters, but how is this going to work in practice playing the game? And it turned out to absolutely be one of the best games of that year. So I'm very excited for Sparks of Hope and the preview that we just got. There actually are a couple different changes. So one of them is the combat is changing a little bit. So can you talk about that?
Sure. I think that there are many changes in this game. Exploration and combat are the two macro areas that we basically changed the most. But about the combat system, we really decided to evolve our previous game into a new experience to make sure that the player could feel freedom while playing on right. the battleground. So we decided to get rid of the grid system with the cursor. So instead of selecting where your character was going to be placed on the battleground, like in the old good time, and then also in Mario plus Rabbids Kingdom Battle, we decided to remove all of that. And it was a risky business, because the combat system was one of the things that player appreciated the most
yes,
out yeah. of Kingdom Battle. So changing it in Sparks of Hope was not an easy choice for us. And it was, of course, not an obvious choice. But I truly believe that now, being able to control the character directly, move them on the battlegrounds, vaulting over the cover, team jumping in real time, and checking out the presence of the enemy if they are inside your area of attack, it's really making the game way more quick in terms of use and snappy that it was impossible to achieve before. So instead of browsing icons on the action console, you are now moving your character. So it's completely different, I would say, in terms of combat. And it's opening up a lot of possibilities.
Yeah, I would completely agree with you. I'm very early playing the game now. I think I just started the second level or whatever it may be. But the point on that is I'm used to the first game, so not having the grid system, it took me a second to get used to it. But to your point, I do feel combat is quicker. There's a little more freedom, which actually leads me into my next question about open exploration as we get into these worlds. So can you talk about that?
Sure. It's one of the things that we changed, and it's really defining this new game that we created, which is Sparks of Hope. And back in the days when we were developing Kingdom Battle, we were alone. And finally, after the release of the game, because of the love and the passion that we received, our player, a community is born. So we developed Sparks of Hope knowing that the community is our lighthouse. Our safe port. So what we did is also exchanging a lot of information, data, and discussion with our own player. And many of them said, hey, Davide, we loved all the environment that you created in Kingdom Battle and Donkey Kong Adventure, and it would be awesome to be able to explore those environments. Because back in the days, it was more of a linear experience.
Right.
So you were progressing and you were forgetting what it was behind you. So we said, okay, we need to change that. Because as a team, we agreed with the community, we would love to explore those worlds. So the exploration for us has been like a glue to glue together basically all the combat system, the quest, the adventure feeding. So now basically the players have the agency to do whatever they want. They spend more time in exploration and discovery, help the inhabitants with the quest system, going on the critical path or enjoying the side content. And most of all, they can pace the adventure and tailor the experience around what they want to do, which for me has been a big change compared to the previous game.
So actually leads me into my next question. So the new characters that are going to be, or the new heroes that were going to be in the game. So I don't want to spoil anything in particular, but can you kind of talk about that process of adding some of the new, you know, the new classic Mario characters and maybe even some different rabbit characters that'll be in the game?
Yes. So first of all, as a player, and not just me, but the entire team, we would love to put in the game all the Nintendo characters, because we love all of them. But then there is, you know, the reality ticket of time and budget and making it possible. So, well, we wanted to introduce Bowser so badly after the first game that we said, okay, we cannot lose this opportunity. And for the rabbits character, for us the big challenge was to come up with characters that could be on par with Rabbit's Peach, because in the previous game she has been so loved by all the players,
right,
that it was not easy to come up with new characters that could stay on par with her charisma. So we needed to create also characters that could be completely different in terms of psychology. And that's why we created Rabbids Rosalina, that is so... I mean, she's almost bored by life. She doesn't know how to live. So, but it's also funny because of that. She's kind of lazy, but she's into knowing more about the universes. She has a personal quest that player will find out in the game. And then the other character, which is Edge, is the most mysterious. And let's say inspiration to create this character was like all Japanese RPG games.
Right.
She's so tough and silent. She's not someone that speaks a lot. And we love to say that she has two kind of expression, with and without this word, like Clint Eastwood, with and without the hat. So that's why we love to keep evolving the characters and the rabbits universe, offering new things to the player.
That is fantastic. So sticking with the characters and getting back into the combat. So you actually showed this off during Ubisoft Forward. We got to see Bowser. We got to see his special ability. But can you kind of elaborate more on just the diversity that we'll see throughout some of the characters in the game with their special abilities and weapons?
Absolutely. So basically, we have a roster of 9 characters, and those roster is divided in 3 macro categories of archetype. We have fighters that are better at dealing with the enemy in a direct way. We have supporters that are better at helping other teammates. And then we have crowd controllers, so that are very good at controlling the enemy on the battlegrounds, as you will see in the second part of the press tour when you will play Pristine Peaks. But then inside those macro categories, you have different roles for each hero. So Bowser, for us, it's like the demolisher kind of guy. So he has an area of damage weapon, which is basically a missile. So he can damage multiple people. He has a very special techniques that can send homing Mecha Koopas against other enemies with another area of damage. So it's the kind of guy with a lot of HP, a lot of damage output that arrives and destroys the situation. Destroy in all sense, because by changing things in the skill tree, you can also make him raise the battleground's cover with some shots. So it's a peculiar guy.
Yeah, very nice. So speaking on that, like we're saying, you obviously have the different characters, like you just mentioned, the skill trees, so you can kind of customize that. One thing that, just for people that are listening to this or watching this, to understand difficulty wise, like even going through the prologue, I could see you can obviously choose a range of difficulties. But when I think about the character combinations, and when we get later into the game, because I'm sure it's going to get more complicated and you're going to see some unique scenarios, is the game designed to allow you to pair any type of characters you want and still be able to progress through the game? Or we're going to see things where we're going to need to be more strategic about the specific characters that we're picking for certain scenarios?
I think it will be a mix of the two. Mm-hmm. Because the game has been built like an onion. So you basically keep peeling off part of this onion. You keep finding mechanics because the game offers a concrete depth in terms of mechanics. Yeah. It's very approachable, but at the same time, with the sparks that are those creatures that you can level up and you can increase their power, and they are modular, and the fact that you can keep 2 of them on each of your hero, this is basically exploding all the combination and the possible synergy. Even for me, after 4 years that I'm developing the game, and now it's about to be out, and I'm playing a lot lately, I keep turning and changing heroes to face different kind of battle, and I keep discovering way to use them and to have synergy out of the combination of heroes plus sparks. So I'm sure that when the game will be out, in the hands of the player that are real demons, better than the dev team, right, they will come up with the crazy combination of, if you spend this kind of runes in the skill tree and you use this character along with these sparks, you will do wonders. And it's something that we are searching for, like a combination that can make the player feel smart and have incredible output.
Yeah, I love that, because even just early on, obviously seeing the sparks being in there, and because I saw a combination already where I could do, I think it was a burn effect, then one that would basically take the damage that was supposed to be on me, but apply a 20% back onto the enemy. So I was already in my head thinking about different combinations that you're going to be able to do. And I'm sure there'll be people way smarter and more skilled than I am of the community to see some of these unique scenarios. So final question before we get out of here. I'm always fascinated by the partnership with Nintendo that brought the first game to life, and obviously this is continued now with the sequel. So can you kind of elaborate on that? How's it been to work with Nintendo on this project?
I think it's been fantastic. We never stopped working with Nintendo since basically 2013, 2014. So right now is a solid 8-year relationship that we are having, and not much changed, to be honest, because we are the one that are developing the games, and they are the one that are supporting us. So they act like a counselor. And it's very nice because we are gaining a lot from this collaboration exchange and them as well. So if there is something that changed in those 8 years is the level of trust that we gain so far. Because we already did basically 3 games together.
Yeah.
There will be new stuff coming up with the DLC. So,
yeah, the DLC, yeah.
For me, this collaboration is gold. Like, it's very enjoyable.
That's very amazing to hear. I'm very happy to hear that because, again, I'm a huge fan of the first game, and I can already tell I'm going to love Sparks of Hope. So,
thanks a lot.
Again, thank you for taking a few minutes to talk to me about this. And just final, let everybody know when Sparks of Hope will be out.
Sparks of Hope will be out the 20th of October.
All right. Yeah, there it is right there. All right. Well, again, thank you so much.
Thanks
I appreciate
a lot. It's a pleasure.
Yeah, thank you.
This is Gamertag Radio. Voicemail at 786-2737-GTR.
All right, that was good. Good. So we're going to go now to the second half here.
So I want to, and I knew we were going to talk about this anyways, but I want to jump on this because I'm looking at it right now in real time.
Okay.
So Cyberpunk 2077, obviously with Edgerunners, which I told you, you have to watch. It is one of the better animes I've seen in a very long time. And it's a perfect companion piece to the game. You will finish Edgerunners and it will make you want to go play Cyberpunk 2077. And I say that because breaking news right now, Cyberpunk 2077 concurrent just broke 130,000 players concurrent on Steam.
Wow.
And is now the top selling on Steam, period.
Wow.
Yes.
Right. That's now. Huge.
Right now. Yeah. This just happened. So that just goes to show you the power of what Edgerunners has done to get people interested in it. And all the work that CD Projekt Red has done over the past couple of years to squash all the bugs and get the game into a good and playable state, because it is right now with the 1.6 update. But yeah, this is a fascinating one to me because, look, we obviously know, going back in our history, you know how excited I was about the game. Obviously, you know, the iconic thing at E3 and you know, everything. I got to host the launch, all that stuff, the yellow chair, everyone can talk about that.
Yeah,
they screwed up at launch, 100%. We all know that for various reasons. That game should have never come out when it did because it just simply was not ready. And honestly, it should have never even been on last gen. This is a next gen game. It always has been. And they tried to force it on last gen. And this is why they ran into so many problems. So much so that every major update and the expansions that come out moving forward will only be next gen. That tells you everything you need to know, right? Mm-hmm. But to see this resurgence and to see them get this close to what I expected the game to be before it came out is good. Because look, you know people over there. I know people over there. There's a lot of great, hardworking people at that studio. And, you know, what happened back in 2020 was not fair to those people. This was obviously a leadership decision, management decision to push that game out the door when it wasn't ready. So and you've seen people tweeting it from CD Projekt Red that it's been tough on them the past couple of years dealing with all the negativity and everything that has happened with that game. And to now see them get a win, they finally got a W and the game is finally starting to be seen in the light that it always should have been, is good for them. So I'm definitely happy for a lot of people over there for all their hard work and getting it to where it is. But yeah, these are crazy numbers, dude. 130,000 concurrent over the last 24 hours have been playing that game.
That is wild. That is very, very wild. Yeah. And actually, I was even thinking about this last night. I was like, man, you know what? I've never played the PC version. I have a PC, a gaming PC. I'm just going to do it. I'm going to buy it. I'm going to buy it probably after this. And play for the first time, PC version.
Yeah.
Now, I'm wondering, Paris, do you think, because I haven't read anything about this yet, do you think it's the same for the gaming consoles version? Like, you think a lot of people are going back or buying the game again or what? You have an idea?
I would imagine, because like right now the game, like I'm looking at it right now on Steam, the game is 50% off. So I'm assuming it's the same on console. Matter of fact, I saw a cheap ass gamer just tweet out, you can get the physical copy of the Xbox version for $10 right now from Amazon. So the game's at a priced right for people that are curious about it to want to go pick it up. So I would imagine it's having a resurgence on console as well. Again, you've not watched Edgerunners. If you watch Edgerunners, there is something that happens in Edgerunners that's going to make you like, you know what? I need to go play this freaking game.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Now, I know they added some new content. I know there's a new expansion coming out sometime next year. The new content that was added that connects to Edgerunners, is it like a long thing? Is it very short or just like a side mission or something like
that? Yeah, it's there's a gig that you can get the jacket that the main character in Edgerunners wears. It's short. You can get all the stuff pretty quickly. But the beauty of Edgerunners is the stuff that you see in Edgerunners is literally in the game. Like you will watch Edgerunner, like, oh, I know where that is. Oh, I know that. I know. Like it's very synergized with it. This isn't like a different world. It is literally the game world and Edgerunners are the same exact world. Mm-hmm. It just so happens you're looking at stories from other characters' point of view, not V's point of view. But technically, V is in this world. That's the wild part about it, right? Everything that is going on is there. Yeah, yeah. So that's what's cool about it.
Yeah, so I have... Here's the thing, man. I have so much stuff that I have to watch because, again, I've been traveling. I've been doing a lot of stuff. I got to watch Edgerunners, Cobra Kai, Andor. I know the Prey movie. I haven't even seen that one yet.
Yeah.
You know, like, there's a lot of great content. Yeah. You know, and I'm glad, Paris, that a lot of the games that comes out on Netflix, like as a series or a movie, every single time there's a new content like that on Netflix, right? It pushes the game to get more sales. It reminds me of when The Witcher, the series came out on Netflix. It blew up again on Steam, the Witcher 3. You know, so I'm glad that that the game is getting a second life, man. And it's getting great, you know, support from not only the old fans, but also new fans too. That was really cool. Really cool to see. So congrats to the dev team over there, man. So, Paris, I know a couple days ago, shout out to Logitech. They sent us their new handheld. I know you got probably more stuff than me. I only got the handheld. But I know this was announced a couple weeks ago, and it's called Logitech G, handheld gaming device, where you could play cloud gaming there, and you could also play mobile games. So, for example, you go and you could download Apex Legends Mobile, Call of Duty, you know, games like that. And you could play it through your device. You could also add a micro SD card in there too, in order you want more space. Cause I think right now it has like a 50 gig. I think I can't quite remember. But a couple of things before we talk about the price and all that stuff. The device battery life is pretty good. It lasts up to like 12 hours. This is all based on Android, so you will go to like the Google Play, and you know, you could download the games there, mobile, and installed already in the device is Xbox S Cloud and also NVIDIA GeForce Now. So if you have any of those accounts, you could play this, and it's very, very smooth and everything. So the design, not as heavy as compared to like the Steam Deck, and I think maybe a little bit lighter than the Switch. Am I right, Paris? Maybe the same size, same weight. I can't quite remember. It's like something like that. But like the color, like everything. Now, I experienced S-Cloud now a couple times there. I actually played Deathloop because it's available now. It was added there a couple days ago. Great experience overall. It was really, really good. Now, the part that had me on pause is the price. Right now... Temporary right now, you could get it. You could get this for now for like $299, right, Paris? For like a couple weeks, and then
right. Mm-hmm.
Once after October 17th, they're gonna raise the price up. And honestly, look, I appreciate everything from Logitech. Thank you so much for giving us opportunity. I like the device. The device is not bad. Like, I really enjoy this. I see myself using this if I'm in the mood to play some, you know, S-Cloud on the go very quickly, you know, if I don't have my Steam Deck or anything like that. So love everything. I just felt like to get that crowd that can't afford a Steam Deck, doesn't want to, let's say, a Nintendo Switch, they want to play some, like, Xbox games or maybe PC games from NVIDIA, GeForce Now. This will be a great opportunity for Logitech to have this as a cheaper price to actually compete. Maybe that will happen in the future because it's just about to launch, you know, and it has so much potential, in my opinion. Do you feel the same about this, Paris, or what?
Yes and no.
Okay. Go ahead.
Yes, but the thing that's going to hold this back is the price.
Yeah, like I said, yeah.
It's the price. It costs too much. This should be $199 max. And the reason being is you have, honestly, the problem is the Steam Deck, first and foremost. The fact that a Steam Deck, and I'm talking the normal retail price, forget the pre-order. At normal retail price, this thing is $350. I can spend $50 more. I can get a Steam Deck. Steam Deck does everything that this does. Plus, I can play local game, AAA games on it as well. Take it wherever, on the go, wherever I want, all of that. Play it on the plane, the whole thing. Mm-hmm. That's the problem. Plus, throw in the Switch. That just throws another monkey wrench into it. Not to mention, because basically, this Logitech G Cloud device is an Android tablet for all intents and purposes, right? So, everything that I can do on this, I can do on my phone too. I put a backbone controller on my phone. Boom, I'm playing. Like, people have seen me post pictures with like the Razer controller. You got the same one for your Samsung thing, etc. It all does the same thing. Mm-hmm. So to tell me I need to go spend $350 for this, I'm not going to go do it when I have other alternatives that quite honestly are better because I can do more things. Again, it does. It's Wi-Fi only. So I don't have a cellular connection. If I want to take this on the go, I need to bring a Wi-Fi hotspot with me to be able to continue to play games on it. Again, like I brought up the plane analogy, and I know that's not a, you know, going to be a common one, but that is a thing. Whereas on the plane, I can play my Steam Deck. I can play my Switch, right? I can't with this. I have to be connected to the internet to play cloud games. Now, you can do local game streaming in your house. Steam Link is another app that is included with it. You know, you can do the Xbox Remote Play, things like that. But as much as I like the heart, I like it for what it is, because it's a quality product. Do not get me wrong at all. I just have a hard time at that price point recommending this to someone when there's a better alternative that's just a little more expensive. I would tell everyone, go get a Steam Deck 10 out of 10 times before I would say, go get this Logitech G Cloud at this price point. If it was $200, then I could see me recommending it. But at this price point, I simply cannot do that. But the device, for what it is and what it does everything great. I could play, you know, on the Xbox app. I can do the cloud gaming on that. Great. GeForce Now works great. Steam Link stuff works great. Again, it's an Android device. Google Play Store is on there. You can download Android games on there if you so choose. It has a 64 gigabyte internal storage, plus it has an SD slot on it, so you can extend the storage if you choose. But again, you're not getting this to play Android games. You're getting this to play your games that you normally would play on Xbox or that you would play on Steam, right? So that's, again, the problem here, where it works great, like as a companion device in the house. Like if all my kids are on the consoles and I want to sit on the couch and I just want to stream something and play it, I can do it. But my Steam Deck can do the same thing too. That's the problem with it. Mm-hmm. So it'll be interesting to see when the pre-orders come out and when this is officially on sale next month, how many people run out to go pick this up. I just think there's better alternatives out there in that same price range. And that's the unfortunate problem.
Yeah. Yeah. I forgot about the Steam Link. I totally forgot about that. Cause, you know, I use that a lot when, I'm playing games. I don't want to play on the PC. I just want to play on a big screen. Boom. I go there and everything. So, I think besides the issues with the price, I personally think that the device is great. Like, I love the design. I love the quality of the device. It doesn't feel cheap at all. And the only thing that I'm still trying to figure out, like, there is two home buttons. One is just a regular home button. This is another one. You probably helped me out, Paris. That's another one. It's like an orange button, and it has the Logitech G logo there. Do you know what's that for? Because I press it, nothing really happens, so I don't really don't
know.
When
I pressed it, it'll just snap back to the basically the app screen when I've done that, like if I'm in game or something like that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Interesting, because I know there's another one that's like a home button, yeah. So I don't know if it was like the same. Okay, cool. Anything else about the device besides that? I mean, the battery life is pretty good. That's like, it's 12 hours.
Yeah, the battery life is, we're getting, that's another positive to it. The battery life is really good. It's like, I think, yeah, recommended at 12 hours, which seems pretty close to accurate. Again, yeah, it's not a bad device. I you know, the screen is 1080p IPS screen, 60 hertz. It's fine. I mean, no, it's not OLED or anything like that, but the screen's fine. I have no issues with the screen at all. I just, my thing comes back to price.
Yeah.
That's probably,
you know what, I wish, Paris, like, even, and we even talked about this when we got to play the Samsung Gaming Hub, the streaming service, playing on S-Cloud. I wish there was a way for us to feel like the vibration of like when you're shooting and playing a game. You don't get that at all when you play this type of thing.
No.
You know that, like, I wish there's a way for Xbox or even Nvidia GeForce Now. I wish they will add that in the future, man. I think it's a better experience. I don't know if it's possible with this technology at all. I think it would be great, for in my opinion, because sometimes I'm just playing and I just don't feel anything. I'm just playing and streaming a game.
Yeah.
You get what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Do you feel the same way? Because I've been feeling about that for a while now with S-Cloud.
No, I'm with you on that. No, 100%. Agreed. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Anything else besides that? Good?
No, I think that's it.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, so it looks like, Paris, it looks like, a shout out to Arctic. I'm actually going to go and download it. He says the Cyberpunk game is also 50% off, like I know you mentioned this, but it ends in 2 hours and 30 minutes.
That's right. Yeah, it's about to end. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, I have to go on Steam and just take advantage of that deal, man, you know? So I'm going to do that. And is there any major differences between the console and the PC version? Because this is going to be my first time playing on PC. First time. Is there any major differences?
Well, you have 3080 Ti?
Yeah.
It's going to look real pretty with all that ray tracing on.
Ooh. Oh, I think I should do it. I think I'm going to do it. All right. We're going to wrap it up here, but we're going to have some after show for those who are watching on Twitch here. Thank you so much, everyone, for watching and listening to this episode of Gamer Tag Radio. Again, send us questions, because the more you do that, we can have some great conversations and back and forth debates. It all depends on you guys, man. So if you would like to be part of our family discussion, here's how you could contact us.
Send us your feedback or questions. Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@gamertagradio.com or leave a message on speakpipe.com/gamertagradio.
Thanks everyone for watching and listening to GTR. Paris, anything else you want to say before I wrap it up here?
No. Oh, well, we'll talk about it in the after show, but no, I think that's it.
All right, so we're out. Till next time. Peace.
Thanks for listening to Gamertag Radio. Be sure to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.